We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the show where myself, I'm a man named Dan. Here's another man named Dan. Talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, etc. and so forth. Welcome to a period of the year, of the month, when big shows have wrapped up, big shows are on the way, and we're here in the middle making our own fun. Daniel, what fun have we made today?
You know, there's always fun to be found if one digs deep enough and looks hard enough. Although we don't have to look too hard this week because there is some stuff going on. There's some new things coming out that we need to talk about. There's a trailer I want to wax philosophical about slash rant about. There's some interesting stuff coming out of Westeros, as always. Hey there, Ash Harmon in the chat. Good to see you. And of course, one of the bigger things in the fantasy television space going on right now is the ongoing campaign to save the Wheel of Time. And there's been a lot of stuff going on with that since last week. So figured we could, you know, maybe see what the latest dispatches are from the battle lines of Tarmon Gaiden over there. So how are you today, Dan? I didn't ask. That was very rude of me.
Oh, no, it's perfectly fine. I'm well. I turned off my air conditioner unit right before I started this, and I'm already kind of regretting it, but I didn't want the noise to be there. But also, it's getting warmer. So let's see if we can wrap this up in a cool 15 minutes.
Okay. Well, we're going to start today in Westeros, as we often do, being named after Game of Thrones. This is the Take the Black podcast. Subscribe to us and all that good stuff. But there, the things coming out of Westeros, a couple of small bits of news. The first is that you actually dug this up. I'm curious about the deets for where you found this and how you feel about it. So Lady Sabatha Frey is confirmed to return, and confirmed from sources, to return for House of the Dragon Season 3. Why should we care?
From the actresses, I think his name is Sarah Woodward's, like, agency page. Which is
That's confirmed.
More reliable than most.
Yeah.
Not a giant bit of news. Like, she's a minor character in season 2. Jace met her. She's the lady of the twins, married to another Frey whose name escapes me. And she's coming back. Sarah Woodward. I liked her. I forgot how much she did in Fire and Blood.
Like, yeah.
She hides in Harrenhal while Aemon and Vhagar sniff around it, escapes, marches with kind of the Winter Wolves, it gets close to Alysanne Blackwood, is on the Regency after the war is over. It's like, oh yeah, she has a lot to do in here. So sure. Sabatha Frey, Sarah Woodward, come on back. We'll greet you when season 3 arrives.
Yeah, so you wrote about this earlier this week, or maybe it was even today. I think it went up today.
It was earlier this week. What? You're so close.
So close. But anyway, you did say that you forgot how many cool things she did. And I did, too, because she is kind of like, you know, we're so used to the Freys being like wheedling, crappy Walder Frey. Mm. But in the era of the Dance of the Dragons, there's some pretty cool Freys. And Lady Sabatha is definitely one of them. Like, she is the power behind the house,
sure,
from what I recall, during this era of Westeros. Mm-hmm. So I hope we get Alysanne Blackwood, because she's a very cool character as well, who has an important part to play, as so many of them do. So the fact that we know for sure now Sabbath of Frey is returning makes me hopeful we'll get a little bit more of that. We need some of these, you know, politicking other houses aside from just the High Towers and the Targaryens and the Valyrians. But yeah, so that's the main news from House of the Dragon. Not too much. They're filming. Filming remains ongoing.
They're in Wales.
They're in Wales. No new reports from enterprising Welshmen who snuck on sets. Not this week, alas. And if you don't know what that means, watch last week's episode. The other thing I wanted to touch on is there was a new Game of Thrones video game announced. Game of Thrones War for Westeros, which is not a video game I ever thought about stylistically. It's an RTS, a real-time strategy game. Think Warcraft, think StarCraft, Age of Empires, Civilization. Although I guess Civilization's turn-based, but those sorts of games. But Game of Thrones is going to get one of those. You can play as the Night King. You can kill Jon Snow and make him your little subservient henchman. And, you know, all you can play as all sorts of other great houses. This is a really interesting thing because that feels like a pretty good match for this universe. So you wrote about this. What do you think of this? Are you excited? Are you meh?
I'm not excited. I'm meh. I'm sure it'll be nice. There's only one Game of Thrones video game that would actually get people excited. I believe, and that would be a Witcher 3 Elden Ring style action adventure, Grown Seven Kingdoms. And they kind of did that with Game of Thrones King's Row, but it's for mobile devices mostly. So you got all the microtransaction stuff mixed in there. StarCraft, Warcraft, RTS. Sure, that's a cool idea. It feels like they've gone out of their way for years to avoid doing what seems like the obvious thing to me. But whoever it makes happy, I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Obviously, the thing a lot of people would want really is that big open world game. This game is expected to be exclusively on PC, which is, I feel like that's fairly standard for these types of RTS games. They're really more kind of designed for a keyboard and a mouse than a controller. So I like this because I like RTS games. I think they're a lot of fun. And I do think commanding armies around Westeros is a cool idea. Whether it will be good, time will tell. But this, you know, I don't see a, how do I put this in the least offensive way possible? I don't see a bad side to this the way that I did with the previous game, King's Road, where it was like, here's the asterisk to why we can only get so excited about this. And that is that it was a mobile game with lots of microtransactions. This, it's like, if you like RTS games, this might be for you. If you don't, it won't be. And like, that's fine. But yeah, I wonder what it will take to ever get, you know, a big open world Witcher style Game of Thrones game.
I think it would take another big spike in popularity brought on by a show like House of the Dragon or another Seven Kingdoms. The fact is they missed their window. They should have done this big game in like the late 2010s. And that Warner Bros. Discovery is getting into their game now and licensing all this stuff to all these developers. It feels like it's kind of too late, but it would take some kind of revival and interest, probably brought on by one of the shows, to get the momentum behind it. That's, I think, what would happen.
I think that that is definitely fair because, you know, even just watching the trailer for this one, because there is a cinematic trailer. I think there's some gameplay screenshots you can find, too. It's looked cool. I was like, hey, they recreated Jon Snow fighting the Night King. That's fun. But I also did get the feeling of like, man, we are just beating this white with this dead white. We're beating the horse to death. I'm sorry. I couldn't make the metaphor to work. But it does, you know, it does feel like we're trying to milk this thing more than there's a good reason to tie this in, even though there's always monetary reasons that they do these things. It reminds me a little bit of my favorite thing to crap on, which is Harry Potter, which was, you know, the never ending how can we monetize this thing we already did instead of giving people anything new or a thing they really mm-hmm. want, which in the case of Harry Potter was another book. In the case of Game of Thrones, I think your another book would be great. But I think in terms of video games, what you said, a big, ambitious, good one is what we need. Yes, you are raising your hand very politely.
Hey, Harry Potter had a big hit with Hogwarts Legacy, also published by Warner Bros. Discovery. That was true. Like the biggest Harry Potter thing to come out in quite a while before this new show. So it's not like it's impossible. Not like there couldn't be a gold mine to mine. They just gotta find the right
project. Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. But I think Hogwarts Legacy is a good example of the opposite end of the spectrum of you're not just making the thing to milk the thing. Like, I'm very biased about this because I worked in a bookstore and like J.K. Rowling like put out all these like little like 80 page like books about random little bits of the Harry Potter lore just to get people to give her $20 more every few years. Like, there's stuff like that where it's like, this is obviously, you don't have anything new, so how can you kind of get a little more money out of people versus something like Hogwarts Legacy, where it's I haven't played it, but I think it's pretty obvious the team behind it really wanted to make something cool with that.
It's got a good reputation.
Yeah, it does.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
So with the Game of Thrones games, you know, mobile games, those really to me feel like they almost exist just to make money. Cause like, sure. Is anyone's passion really mobile games? You know, like maybe that's a little judgmental. Yeah. Maybe that's a little judgmental of me, but it doesn't speak very well to the investment of Warner Brothers Discovery into making something special instead of making something to get a little more money.
It just looks cool. Just the other day, there was a Dune game released, Dune Awakening. That's apparently quite a big hit.
I've heard that it's great. Yeah. There are some interesting things happening. I know this is on the lightning round, but I'm going to mention it here a little bit anyway. And that's The Expanse got a game announced this past week as well. The Expanse Osiris Reborn, which is like a Mass Effect style game set in the world of The Expanse. And that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, like obviously, like do this thing. That sounds great.
Sure.
It's not saying that these things can't have good video games, but they need to want to make a good video game first and foremost. And it seems
like those a movie or a TV show. Like everything has to line up just so at the right time, in the right way by the right people to make sure it all gets to the finish line. And again, in 10 years, when we can all type in make a great Game of Thrones game on ChatGPT, that'll be then. That'll be fine. Yeah. But for now, it still has to go through a difficult process.
Yeah. And I do have a theory about this. So Leo said, and why were these games made after the show ended instead of its peak popularity? I do have a theory about the issues with the game stuff and why the Expanse one makes me really excited in a way that some of these other ones haven't. And I think that's partially because the people behind The Expanse, Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank, they are gamers. Like The Expanse was originally designed as a tabletop RPG campaign, and then they made it books instead. So like they have an understanding of what a good game would be. Like if people are pitching them stuff, they're not just going to be like, well, that pitch sounds okay for the people who like games. Like they understand different types of games. George R. R. Martin has said before, like he played Railroad Tycoon in the early aughts. Like he's not a video game player. The powers that be at HBO don't really care about this.
He was born Truman was president. He just didn't get on with video games.
There's nothing where it's like, oh yeah, someone like when Ty Frank and Daniel Abraham, who I am sure have played Mass Effect, seeing The Expanse get this type of game, it's like, I don't know how much influence they had to push for that. I assume some, but it's like, obviously they would know that is a more exciting fit for their world than like, you know, the mobile games Game of Thrones has gotten over the years. That's my pie in the sky theory.
You gotta have the right people at the right time in the right place in the right order. And yeah. It happens sometimes, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, totally. So that's what's going on in Westeros. The video games are kind of the main thing I wanted to talk about there this week. And yeah, Unvogue Craze is saying the Dune video game just got released. It's got positive reviews from players. I've heard that too. And this stands against the point I was just making, because I don't know how much, you know, Brian Herbert or Kevin J. Anderson are playing games. Kevin J. Anderson's a writing machine. I got to assume not very much. But yeah, it can happen. And I'm very happy to see the Dune one is doing well, because that was a big question mark of, will this be good? Will this be another attempt to just capitalize on Denis Villeneuve's new movies? It seems like it's a little bit more the
it's former. Always a crapshoot, man.
It is. So yeah, that's what's going on in Westeros. That's what's going on in video games yet. Chris says, Game of Thrones isn't over yet. Snow. Keep dreaming, sweet summer child. I like that you are keeping the hope alive. Anyway, do we want to move on to the Wheel of Time? Do you want to field any more comments before we do?
I'm intrigued by Leo's comment. We're talking about the Snow Hatterfinger Your Dragon crossover. I don't know what you mean, but I'm interested, and I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Okay. That's it. Tell us more. All right. So the next thing on the docket today is we're going to check in with the Wheel of Time. So the Wheel of Time, Prime Video's big sweeping fantasy show, it was canceled after its third season last month, despite the third season being far and away the best reviewed, best with critics. Fans loved it, even some
best in general,
kind of indisputably the best season. Had some of the coolest, one in particular episode that is one of the coolest that I have seen on TV in fantasy. Maybe, you know, it's up there with the greats of fantasy television. I think that Ruidian episode.
I think so.
Amazon, of course, gave it the axe at the peak of its popularity or whatever. And since then, fans have been working really hard to get the show saved, similar to The Expanse, which was famously saved, ironically, by Amazon. So there is a campaign going on, the Save Watt campaign, savewatt.com, where they have like a petition that is doing three things, which is either try to convince Amazon to change their mind, convince Sony, who holds the rights to this series, to shop it elsewhere, or convince other streamers to get on board and pick the show up. So they've got that. They've got a bunch of other things. But one of the big bits of news that came out in the past week since our last show, where we also, I think, probably at least mentioned this stuff, because it's been a thing that's been going on, is that showrunner Rafe Judkins has finally weighed in. So I'm going to read a couple of quotes from his statement. He made a statement on Instagram, and basically he said, I've been asked the same question many times the last week. Why was the Wheel of Time canceled? And the truth is, I don't know. I wish I could say something clear and tidy that explains to all those who love it why it's coming to an end, but sadly, I can't. And man, like, do you believe him, Dan? Like that's a crazy thing for a showrunner to be like, I honestly don't know.
I completely and utterly believe it. Of course I do.
Yeah, me too.
We know how dramatically wild the TV landscape has been over the past few years. You know how many things are changing. I don't think the executives know what they're doing until they actually make the decision sometimes, like until 5 minutes before. I think in a lot of industries, including TV industries, there's a serious problem of the left hand doesn't know what the right is doing. No one talks to each other. So it does not. I'm not sure he like found out on deadline, which is kind of a famous thing you hear sometimes about show cancellations. But sure. I bet he found out like right before. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that was, you know, he's a consulting producer, so obviously not as in the know, but Brandon Sanderson, who wrote the last three books, he found out on deadline.
Of course he
when it was canceled. But yeah, the thing you said about the trends, you know, the trends shifting, executives not really knowing what they're doing. We're kind of seeing, do you want to field this comment? I see you looking at the comments.
I don't want to interrupt you. I'm just mostly amused by Leo saying that I didn't know this, that Kit Harington is a voice in House of the Dragon. And sorry, How to Train Your Dragon. So if they do a live action remake, hey, he's back wearing medieval armor, wearing a dragon.
Nice. I could get behind that. And also, I did not know that. That must be in one of the more recent ones. I don't know how many of those they made, but Kit Harington was a pretty young dude back in when the first one came out. So I have to assume he's not in it.
I think the last one came out in like 2019 or something. So it would
probably
be
that one. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, with the Wheel of Time, the stuff with the executives, like that's like seeing HBO change its name to Max HBO Max. And now David Zaslav just announced that he's splitting Warner Brothers Discovery, which used to be two companies, into, wait for it, two companies once more, but these are a different two companies. One is focused on, I think, streaming, and one is focused on everything else. It really does feel like what you said. It's the Wild West and no one knows what the hell they're doing.
Look, everyone is born ignorant and stupid, and then they grow up, and part of wisdom is realizing that nobody, not even the most experienced adults, really know what's going on or what they're doing. Competence at a hierarchical level is a very precious and rare thing. And I'm not surprised there isn't like a ton of it, even in major industries.
So Judkins talked about, he didn't talk about that, but he did talk about just that it was canceled. He doesn't know why, how appreciative he is for everyone that worked on the show, for all the fans. He also said much has been written about this larger trend in TV toward fewer seasons with less episodes and finding quicker ways to acquire additional streaming subscribers. But I genuinely believe that this goes against the fundamental strength of television, long form storytelling. Then compared that to epic fantasy, saying that's the same with epic fantasy. Seeing characters you love week after week, year after year. And yeah, the dude's right. He then dropped this last little tidbit that I'll read, which is about whether the Wheel of Time could get picked up somewhere else. He said, sadly, it's not something that happens often, but it does happen. In fact, one of the reasons we first chose Amazon as a home for the show was because they were in the midst of picking up The Expanse after Sci-Fi canceled it. So who knows? Perhaps the Wheel of Time show will do what the books have always managed to do since day one, defy the traditional definitions of beginnings and ends. I certainly hope it does, because this book series and these fans deserve to see the story finished. So yeah, that is, you know, Judkins talking about this. There, we do have a link somewhere. Maybe we can drop it in the chat for where we kind of analyzed his statement a little bit on the site. But yeah, how are you feeling? You know, I don't know about you, but I had been waiting for Judkins to say something that was either like, Hey everyone, good job fighting for the show, or like, it's really over, maybe you should cool it. And he kind of like towed the line a little bit.
He didn't really say either, did he? Yeah.
No.
Which I don't know is actually entirely helpful, or as helpful as it could be. Cause like that kind of half-hearted, like maybe it'll come back, I don't know. I have no idea how much power he would have over something like this. But yeah. I figure if someone is going to be the person who spearheads a campaign to shop it around, would he not be like involved in that? Or is that something that, I don't know, Sony executives would do on their own? I really don't know. But it's written as though he has no decision-making power over what happens next. It's like, yes, what happens, happens. And maybe he doesn't. But if he does and is just sort of saying like, maybe it'll come back, maybe it won't, I don't really like that. But I don't know what his actual role is. I don't know what papers were signed. I really can't speak to that in detail.
Yeah, I do think that there's probably, you know, only speculating here, but I think that it sounds fair based on what he said that he obviously doesn't seem like he has too much control over what happens to the show. So sure. I imagine there is some executive level thing that would need to change before, you know, there was a report that came out from inside sources, it quotes, that the show is not being shopped around by Sony. We don't know for sure if that's true, but I imagine Judkins can't just say, hey, let's go shop it around.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm sure that's right. I'm sure he would want to if he could.
Yeah, and I will say, like, this is one of the things that makes this whole Wheel of Time situation much trickier than what happened with The Expanse, because The Expanse was produced by Alcon Entertainment. And once Sci-Fi canceled it, like, they just had the rights and they were working with the authors of the books and they were like, we're going to go find this thing another home. Like, and then the fans were really behind it. They flew an airplane over Amazon HQ with a banner that said Save the Expanse. They wrote letters. They did a whole bunch of stuff. But very crucially, the studio was very bullish on supporting that effort. And it's hard to imagine, you know, the Wheel of Time campaign to save that show, I think, is probably the most organized one I've seen since The Expanse. Because, you know, these crop up once in a while.
Very impressive. But I have not seen folk work this hard to get something renewed or saved in a long time.
Yeah. So it seems like the fans are doing everything they can. So a few highlights, because this campaign is ongoing. As of this recording, that petition I mentioned, that's kind of a three-pronged thing that is basically aimed at the studio saying, go shop this show or Amazon change your mind. I'll note, it's not aimed at Rafe Judkins. It's aimed at the studios. They are over 164,000 signatures, closing in on 165, which is actually around 25,000 more than the Expanse campaign got. So it's very high up there at this point for a Save the Show campaign. I think only Shadow and Bone is like the only recent one that got more. That got like 200,000 signatures, but the second season was bad, so nothing happened there. So they did that. They also did a GoFundMe to do billboards in cities like LA and New York and London, as well as a sky banner like that one I mentioned that the Expanse used. They raised like $32,800 on that GoFundMe. Their initial goal was like $7,000. So they did that in like a few days. They totally smashed their funding.
It's hugely impressive. It really is. Yeah. Like, that's the thing that part of me feels like it's probably might not be entirely healthy to keep up hoping in the midst of despair. But I will say this activity is inspirational.
Yeah, totally. And Asha Harmon in the chat says 164K, projected to be 175K in a couple of days, which, yeah, I totally believe. I check the site every day, savewatt.com, and it is like going up by thousands pretty much every day at least. He says it's currently moving faster than Shadow and Bone did at the same time. Chris says, how many petition signatures did refilm Game of Thrones season 8 get?
We don't talk millions, plural.
That was a lot. I don't remember the exact amount, but that was asking for something very different than the Wheel of Time fans are asking for here. And that was never going to happen, but it is amusing in hindsight, if a little offensive to the people who worked on it. But yeah, so they did this. They're still ongoing. The site is getting more and more polished, like literally every day. It's adding more ways for people to get involved. They've written hundreds of like letters to studios, video messages. I saw a video message from C.L. Clark, who's the author of The Unbroken and that recent Arcane tie-in book. Like they sent in a video for this. So a lot of people are getting involved in this. And it's not just even the Save Watt campaign. It's broader than just that, because a billboard popped up in Times Square last week, and that was from a totally different group of fans from Brazil who bought that to support the show and bringing the show back. And I saw a bunch of cast members and Rafe Judkins all sharing that and being like, this is so moving. And hopefully that can translate to the show returning. So yeah, what do you think of where all this is at? Should we be abandoning hope? Should we be rolling up our sleeves and fighting? What's going on here?
We should be rolling up our sleeves and fighting. I think with the knowledge that it is a bit of a Sisyphus.
Yeah, that. There's a boulder and a hill.
That it is a difficult challenge. I think there is value in the fight. I think there is value in the resistance. I think there is value in trying to get a boulder up a hill. Whether it ends up actually going up the hill and resting or not. So I think it is worth doing. If you love something, go ahead and try it. I doubt it'll get renewed, but I think the fight is worth fighting anyway, regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it is an uphill battle. Like, no matter how you slice it, and again, the fact that Rafe Judkins, for whatever reason, can't just be like, yeah, we're shopping it. He is, as someone else said, Rosamund Pike hasn't said anything yet. But many other cast members have put up things on Instagram or retweeted posts about Save Watt. I think part of the reason that Rafe Judkins and Rosamund Pike haven't said anything yet is because they're both producers on the show. Like, Rosamund Pike is not even just like the lead actress on the show. Like, she is a in the thick of it producer at this point. There were some things during like the FYC campaign where Rafe Judkins talked about how like she is a hands-on producer of the show who helps with the actors and stuff like that. Like, so I wonder if like, because of their contracts with Sony, they can't be like shading it in public or pushing against what Sony would want if Sony doesn't want to shop it. I imagine, and I don't have any inside knowledge here, but I imagine there's some sort of legal thing like that that is keeping them from being as vocal as they otherwise would be. We'll see what happens. I agree with you. I think the fight is worth fighting. I think the coordination of the fan campaign is definitely a testament to, like, you know, I'm not abandoning hope completely. It would be a long shot still. Mm-hmm. But I do think this feels different than, you know, Shadow and Bone or The Acolyte. Like, there were a lot of shows that were divisive to not great. And like, I know some people really like The Acolyte. I thought it was decent. I didn't love it. Didn't hate it. Had some very cool lightsaber fights. Very bad twin choreography. Shadow and Bone had a great first season. Really middling second season. They kind of jettisoned.
They got greedy. Yeah.
They got greedy. They kind of jettisoned the story from the books for season two in order to get to the Six of Crows spinoff faster, which Netflix seemed to want. And then Netflix said, well, that last season didn't do well enough, so let's cancel it all. This is different because the Wheel of Time seems to be at its peak right now.
Yeah.
Like it is getting Emmy buzz. Like, it was ridiculously well reviewed. Like, it's turning opinions from people who hated it. There's a reviewer at Forbes named Eric Kane, who I often very passionately disagree with his opinions. And he really didn't like the first two seasons. He came back around on season three and said it got him back into the books. So it does feel like there's something here. There's a reason that the fans should be pushing versus just like, you're sad your show got canceled and I'm sorry for you. So
I agree. No, I completely. I kind of like what Light Blinded Fools said, that whether the movement saves the show or not, it's a great focus for fans to work together and shows we can still have a large impact, did what we could and can inspire other similar movements. It is inspiring, unironically, to see this activity.
Yeah.
And around this show that really does deserve to be saved. I also agree with Josie, who says that the Brazilians are amazing when they love something. The Brazilian fans love hard. Like, yes, not just the show, other shows too. I have noticed that.
Yes.
Good on Brazil.
Shows, music. I don't know if you've ever seen like concert videos from Brazil. I've seen Iron Maiden recorded their Rio de Janeiro concert like back in the day. And it was crazy. It's crazy. Just like thousands and thousands and thousands of people. All very into it. So yeah, Brazilians, people from all over the world are kind of getting behind the Save Watt stuff. So if you, intrepid listener, viewer, whoever you are that is listening to us talk, if you want to find out more, savewatt.com is the website. And yeah, lots of ways to get involved. I think letter writing is one of the big ones they're pushing right now. Send mail, physical mail to these executives demanding appreciatively demanding that they do what you want.
I'm going to pitch some things. What if they try to target Emmy voters and win with a bunch of Emmys and get a spike in publicity that way? Or what if they create a Raya account and catfish very rich celebrities, and it ends up just being a front to push the Wheel of Time on them. It's another idea I have.
I won't lie, I don't know what that is, but I support
Raya. You is like a dating app for really, really rich people.
Oh, that's why I don't know what that is. So that all, you know, the Emmy thing is interesting. I don't necessarily think that's a bad idea. Like, I don't know where you would go to be sending letters to Emmy people. But if, you know, the Wheel of Time is still in contention and it is still deserving in a few categories, someone give Sharon Gillum, the costume designer, an Emmy. That woman deserves one. And also the, I don't know for what, with Ruidian, maybe prosthetics, which would be, I think. Yeah. Did you say editing?
Directing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thomas Knapper. I'd get behind him for one, because that episode is tremendous. That could only help it. I'm sure that would be a good feather in its cap. And if it doesn't help, Amazon will be happy to say our Emmy winning canceled show, The Wheel of Time. But yeah, anywho, that's what's up with The Wheel of Time. We will obviously be having our ear to the ground. We'll be watching for updates from this campaign. We've been watching it very closely because, yeah, it is, for us in the fantasy space, The Wheel of Time is kind of one of the most important adaptations that has happened in, since Thrones went off. You know, 100%. There aren't too many book series that are bigger fantasy books than The Wheel of Time. So we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed.
That's why we're still harping on it all this time later. Because
exactly. Yeah.
And also because, look, we all know that if it doesn't get revived, who knows how long we would have to wait for someone else to take a stab at it. Yes. Maybe like within our lifetimes, hopefully.
Yeah, this is
wouldn't be a guarantee.
Totally. There are a lot of like hardcore like book lovers who hate the Wheel of Time show, and I can understand some of the, I definitely understand criticisms of it, but I've seen this really idiotic kind of argument online that's like, thank God the Wheel of Time got canceled. Now someone else can pick it up and do it faithfully. And it's like, my dudes, because it's always dudes saying this, like, my dudes, if the Wheel of Time is canceled and the cancellation sticks, like, you'll be lucky if your children or grandchildren get to see a Wheel of Time show. Like, it's not going to just get immediately picked up again. Like, this is showing that it couldn't succeed if it sticks. No studio is going to do live action, maybe animated, but again, like, that's a real long shot. And why wouldn't studios take a chance on something that is much simpler than this show? Mm-hmm. The Wheel of Time getting adapted really feels like one of those things that was only somewhat possible because of how high
it was, this perfect window. And I don't know whether or when that window will open again.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you're cheering that the Wheel of Time got canceled because you think it will just get another show, sorry to break it to you, there's basically no way that's gonna happen. So yeah, anyway, do we want to carry on? Sorry, I got distracted by this comment from Light Blinded Fool, which says, and don't forget to have Watt play 24/7 in the background. Unmuted, but you can turn the sound down if you haven't canceled your Amazon Prime yet. Is there a reason for that? Is that part of the campaign, Light Blinded Fool? Tell me more. Because I did cancel my Amazon and it runs out tomorrow. So if I need to be putting the Wheel of Time on tonight, tell me why.
Did you cancel just your Prime subscription? Did you like cancel your Amazon Prime in general? And if so, why? That means you won't get discounts and next day delivery on packages you need.
The next day delivery since the pandemic has been dubious at best. Like, it used to be next day delivery. Now it's like next day, 3 to 4 day delivery. And I'm like, I could be fine without that. But yeah, I canceled in a fury. You know, Amazon's got enough issues that like, I didn't need a big nudge to cancel. Yeah. But when they canceled the Wheel of Time, I literally just went on. I went on, I canceled, and they didn't even give me a little box to say why. And I was like, you cowards. But yeah.
And Josie has a great comment, too. Yeah, Josie, we've talked about that transition. But why don't you do a whole show on that? Like, which the transition? Reason why from in ye olden days, there used to be shows like Stargate that had 22 episodes a season. It was standard to have 22 episodes a year. even for genre shows. And now it's 8 every 2 years and it gets canceled. How that happened is a long, bloody story.
Yes.
Maybe we should talk about some other show.
That probably would be a good thing to do a whole show on, because, you know, obviously budgets are a huge part of that. The scale of these things. Mm-hmm. There are good and bad things that came out of Game of Thrones, and the ballooning budgets are maybe an example of possibly a bad thing, because we are where we are right now. But I'm going to blame Westworld, because Westworld was the first show to do the 2 year gaps. So really, it, like most other things, is Westworld's fault.
If you can blame Westworld, why not? Yeah.
Westworld can take it. Where do you even watch it these days? I don't know. Not on HBO Max, because it's not there Roku. Anymore. Yeah, Roku, sure. do we want to carry on here and talk about other things we may be watching, reading, otherwise consuming in our media diets?
Dan, you take the wheel and you steer us where you want this train to go.
Okay. I can do that. I can do that. Sure. Because I've been watching and reading quite a lot in the past week, actually.
Oh.
So the new Predator animated movie, Predator Killer of Killers, is out. Spoiler alert. I might spoil it a little bit here. If you haven't watched it, be warned. Ooh. Because it's been out for like, a week, 5 days now, whatever. And I couldn't talk about it last show because it wasn't out yet. But it's awesome. I kind of was really skeptical that it would be as good, because a lot of times when it's like our animated tie-in movie, it's like, all right, well, this is, you know, a low budget thing that you didn't have high expectations for. But this really feels like, so it's director Dan Trachtenberg, who also did Prey, did this animated movie. The animation's pretty cool. It has some really good like action shots that really put you in it. Does some interesting things where, like, watching this, part of me was like, I wonder if this was the live action Predator movie, it would just be without a doubt one of the best Predator movies. I don't think it will get the same accolades and love as an animated movie, but I can also understand why they did an animated, because it's different time periods. We see a Predator hunt a Viking and a ninja and a World War II pilot. And to construct all three of those time periods obviously would have probably been more than any studio wants to spend on a Predator movie. But I will say there's a massive twist at the end. How about this? I won't talk about the massive twist. I feel so guilty spoiling it, Dan, because it was so good. The twist of this movie.
It sounds very cool. It took it from a movie that I was not probably going to watch and something like, ooh, I could check it out.
Yeah. And it's a good, did you see Prey? I can't remember.
No.
Okay. So Prey, also an excellent movie. They went really hard on the Native American period piece aspect of it in a way that I don't think really any other movies have. It was the first movie to ever get released in Comanche, out of the gate. Because they did an overdub for it as well. And they worked very closely, Native Americans behind the camera, in front of the camera. Anyway, whether you've seen Prey or not doesn't really matter for the sake of watching Killer of Killers. Kind of stands on its own very well. Some slight tie-ins here and there, but you don't need to have watched it. So yeah, that is probably the biggest thing I watched in the past week. There's a new trailer. Sorry, were you going to say something? Because I've just been rambling. I need a breath.
Just like this Dan Trachtenberg guy sounds like he has the touch.
Yeah, I mean, he has another Predator coming out in November, which is live action, Predator Badlands. And I realized, because, I'm a huge fan of these movies. The Predator was the first R-rated movie I ever saw as a teenager. So I have a deep and abiding love for them.
Everyone watching, Daniel is a Predator stan. He loves the mandibles. Alien, Predator. If it's extraterrestrial and trying to kill you, Dan's into it.
It's true. I even like the Starship Troopers movie. Even though that one's very schlocky, I enjoy it.
One's schlocky on purpose for an ironic point.
Yes, it is. I have too much nostalgia to feel anything but love for that movie. But speaking of Alien, they did just drop another trailer for Alien Earth. That comes out, I think, August 12th on FX and Hulu.
Have you seen this trailer?
No, but I
fair.
I'm not a giant alien predator stan like you. That's I'm interested fair. Though. I've seen I actually have never seen Predator. I've seen Alien and Aliens.
Oh man, the original Predator is. I mean, it's an enduring movie for a reason. That and Prey. You could really the other ones you could give or take. Like
the
Predator 2's
second I watch it, I swear I'll tell you.
I believe you, and I can't wait for that day. So Alien Earth is set on Earth. The alien crash lands to Earth.
Ooh, hey, we're there.
The trailer looks really cool. It's from Noah Hawley, who did Fargo.
I've watched Fargo. Fargo's great.
Yeah, I've only heard good things about Noah Hawley, especially the Fargo show, which I have not watched, but I fully everyone I know and respect like you who has seen it really likes it. And based on the trailer, it seems like he really gets like the tone and the feel of Alien. Like this feels kind of like a cross between the original Ridley Scott movie and the more epic, bigger scope of James Cameron's sequel. So it looks awesome, has all the ingredients that seem exciting. It's more than just a xenomorph. There are five dangerous alien creatures on board this ship that crashes into a big futuristic city. My big qualm, the thing that is just stuck in my craw about this Alien movie that I wrote about on the site today, I wrote an editorial about this, is that it should have been a sequel instead of a prequel, because the Alien movies, the whole point of them is always this thing can't get to Earth or it will probably kill everyone. Like that is what Sigourney Weaver, you are undermining Sigourney's struggles, because all four of those original movies, that was always the big point that they underlined. And the corporations wanted to take them there anyway, and she found a way to stop it. So to be like, here's the prequel where an alien happened to be on Earth 2 years before all that happened, and it was fine, because like we know, no matter how bad things get in this prequel, the alien's not going to destroy Earth because all the Sigourney movies happened.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not a stickler for alien myth or lore or anything. Is there any way that could be written in a way that's consistent, or on the bare premise, it's impossible to avoid the clash?
There's a way it could be written to be consistent, I think, which is that this thing happened, these corporations cover it up, and the alien gets fried. So there's this synthetic android, Wendy. I'm assuming she or someone else is going to kill the alien and destroy its remains so the corporations can't have it. So then I think this is going to try to fill in a very specific gap in the original Alien, which is the original Alien kind of hints that the corporation, Weyland-Yutani, knew that the aliens were on this planet when they sent Sigourney Weaver's ship there. So they sent them there on purpose to get infected with it and bring it back. So I think this is going to fill in the gap of how they knew that there were aliens on that planet. So yes, I think there's a way, if you contort yourself just right, they can make it work, but it still feels like I'm going to watch it like Noah Hawley. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt, but yeah, it's just hard. It's crazy because it looks so good, but it's making it really hard for me to get excited about it. That's my rant.
I'm sorry about it.
Thank you.
I agree with Nicole mostly that it's kind of a slump month right now. I'm mostly trying to get my hands on screeners for like Squid Game and The Sandman. I think it's coming around the corner.
Ooh, nice.
But she's enjoying Murderbot. I just agree with Nicole that I enjoy the episodes coming out once per week. Although, you know, it is the weird show where they're only a half hour. And I guess I'm so used to multiple drops. I could stand more than one, but I like it. And I disagreement with you, because in your last review of Murderbot, you were talking about not enjoying it, but not liking the parts where they objectified Murderbot and had kind of sex jokes. And I gotta tell you, I watched the episode, I was like, this is by far the funniest part. That was the part I enjoyed the most.
Yeah, so this is one of those things where I feel like maybe people who've read the book may disagree a little bit, because like Murderbot in Martha Wells' books, like this, the sex it appears as, it's very much left ambiguous. Like all the jokes about it having like a nice face and things like that. Like the
the book doesn't really do any of that. So like that is very much an invention of the show because they have very attractive Alexander Skarsgård playing the murder bot. Mm-hmm. And that's fair. Like, you know, I don't know. It feels weird and exploitative to me, and I just didn't like it. And also it feels like it clashes with, like, because I know it's not even remotely a part of the book character, it feels like a thing they added in to get some cheap sex jokes in. And I don't know. It didn't work for me, but I can respect that it worked for you and worked for other people, because obviously I've seen other people say that too, that they thought that that was a really funny part. And I just didn't like it. Not a fan.
I mean, I don't think it's like dirt cheap sex jokes. Bring out the cheap sex jokes. The cheap sex jokes worked on me. I laughed.
Don't worry. There are more.
All right, fair enough. We'll see what happens there. I mean, when this like lofty scientist talking about, does he have a wee wee? Like, it was just so like contrasting. I did laugh.
Yeah, totally. And you know, it's at the end of the day, it's a sci-fi comedy. So like I can get behind like the jokes and stuff. And I'm glad, like I will say, that particular moment where Labibi kissed Murderbot on the face is probably like my literal least favorite moment in the season. So if you didn't have a problem with that, you've only got good things to go from here. Man, it just felt gross. It just felt gross. And I know that, like, you know, the show is doing stuff with, are they allowed to have autonomy? Do different people treat them like slaves? And she's from the corporation rim, so they view them like machinery and not like an actual being. So yeah, I think there are reasons they did what they did. I just don't necessarily love it.
I think it could stand, like, because my complaint so far, I've enjoyed it. My complaint has been that, I don't know, I wanted a little more edge or diciness to it, like a little bit of a harder drive, and raunchy sex jokes fit into that fantasy for me. So I'm fine with it so far.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, it's not the edgiest show in the world. And like, there will be some interesting, dangerous, cool scenes ahead. Like I have seen the whole season. But it remains kind of light. Like the comedy is front and center. And I think the show is even funnier than the book. It makes efforts to be. But I do want to point out, who said it? Nicole wished that she had more episodes. So I did watch it all in a row on my first watch, and I enjoyed it. I've got to say, I really like that they're doing it weekly. I feel like none of us would be talking about it still if they had released it all at once. It's an easy show to binge because those episodes are so short and so pacey that, like, this is kind of a prime example of Apple getting the weekly model and why it works. Because if they dropped Murderbot all at once, we all would have binged it in a week and forgotten about it already.
It'd be over.
And instead they're 25 minute episodes and we're still talking about them like a month and a half later. So
what executives did the tech company Apple hire who take chances on little known expensive genre properties and insist on a week by week model? Like, they must have hired like veteran TV folk who wanted things the old fashioned way. It's so interesting over there.
I think David S. Goyer is one of them, who I think he's a producer on Foundation. I think he was also one of the people who helped get Murderbot made there. So yeah, I think you're right. I think that is a thing they did really well that some of these other studios didn't. I think Amazon pretty notably did not necessarily go this route. They got a lot of, it seems like more, I don't want to say rookie people, but younger people who they felt like they could maybe strong arm a little bit. I'm thinking of like the Rings of Power, where that's an instance where those showrunners had never made a television show before. But that's just me speculating. Anyway, I do think it's something Apple's obviously doing something right because it's working for them. Is there anything else you're watching, Dan?
No, I'm waiting to get hi Netflix, I'm Dan. Hey Ted. I would love screeners to Squid Game and The Sandman. If you can send those along, that would be great. Thank you very much.
Yes please, Netflix. The only other things I'll just mention briefly, because I know we're pushing time, I am about halfway into season 2 of Dark Winds, cool, which is on Netflix. Netflix has the first two seasons of Dark Winds, Navajo Police Officers, George R. R. Martin's a producer, based on books by Tony Hillerman. Really good. I don't know if I like season two quite as much as season one, but it's still solid television. There's six episodes each. Nice. Highly recommend them. You know, I know Nicole was saying she had nothing to watch. If you want a good, like, police kind of crime show, like thriller, it's not like a procedural where they have a different thing every week. It's like, you know, one season long mystery they're kind of unraveling. That show is totally worth the time. Really, really good. So I'm deep into watching that. I'm also deep into reading this book, The Two Lies of Faven Seif, which is by Megan E. O'Keefe. That came out, I think, last week. It's like a space opera pirate novel. So vibes of like pirate space opera. That basically there's a missing person, and this navigator who is like their minds are like, they make paths through the stars with this like crystalline magic, is trying to get this pirate to help her get to this spaceship graveyard. So it's got a lot of fun piratey tropes, but all in space. Enjoying that a lot. And that, I've been watching and reading so much, but that is it, by gum.
Very cool. Shall we wrap this up with the WIC News lightning round, where we go through a bunch of stories we couldn't talk to the main body of the show and give our 20-second opinions?
Let's do it. You know, I think we should. I think we should just bite the bullet and do the lightning round. Do you want to be asked first, or do you want to ask first? I don't think these are in any particular order.
Not really. I'll go ahead and ask you first. Why not? Hey, Daniel. Word on the street is that Kathleen Kennedy, the head of Lucasfilm, will be stepping away in the near-ish future, and that she will be succeeded by the Clone Wars creator, Dave Filoni, and longtime Lucasfilm exec, Carrie Beck. Good news, bad news, neutral news.
I think this is neutral news. There was a report on this a few months ago, and Kathleen Kennedy was basically like, I'm not leaving anytime soon. I'm just planning so I can retire one day. And I think this is a little bit more of the same. Kathleen Kennedy gets a lot of shit. She's kind of heralded Star Wars for quite a while at this point.
Yeah,
she'll leave when she's ready. And obviously Dave Filoni's going to be the person like that's obviously who else would it be?
Tony Gilroy.
Here's one for you about our dear, dear friend, David Zaslav. So Warner Brothers Discovery is breaking into two companies, streaming and studios and global networks.
Yeah, you mentioned this. So yeah, well, Warner Bros. Discovery is a merger between Warner Bros. And Discovery. And now it's being broken up into the parts of Warner Bros. Discovery that do linear, normal TV, and the parts that do streaming and movies, which David Zaslav will still be head of the latter one. And an old CFO will be the head of the one that's just for TV. And that's the story, and I'm done. All right, Daniel. Amazon canceled The Wheel of Time, but they are adapting another fantasy book series, a YA series called Powerless by Lauren Roberts.
Yeah, they canceled The Wheel of Time because Epic Fantasy has now had its heyday on television, and they're trying to get on the romantasy boom, which is all the rage in publishing right now. This is a romantasy series. It's YA. It's also very controversial. Got some accusations of plagiarism when it first dropped.
Ooh.
So Amazon is just, this is a choice. And I'm curious to see how it works out. No shade at Lauren Roberts. I don't know you. Just reporting the facts as they have been stated. And here's another Amazon one, because apparently they're up to a lot. So Doug Jung, who is part of Mindhunter, Star Trek Beyond, he's going to be the showrunner on Amazon's new Mass Effect show that they're making.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of news about Amazon doing a lot of new stuff this past week, which, again, is a kind of salt in the wound of these Wheel of Time fans who just had their big epic fantasy thing canceled. A Mass Effect show. I have not played the games. You're a big fan. It sounds like it could work as a TV show if they do it right. Honestly, I'd be afraid if they were doing a new Amazon show right now, considering what they did.
Okay. Yeah. Totally.
Daniel, here's something you can celebrate, though. You're going to talk this a bit, but just extol it for another 20 seconds. The Expanse, Osiris Reborn, is a new video game coming that's set in the world of the Expanse.
Yeah, so this is from Owlcat Games. It's being made with Alcon Interactive, which is part of the studio that made the show. It's a Mass Effect style action RPG, and it will put players right into the middle of a lot of really iconic settings and events, like the Eros station incident is where the game starts. You'll go to Mars, Luna, the belts. Sounds awesome. I really hope this game pans out. Dan, The Rings of Power, Season 3, once more, Amazon's prized production. The Lord of the Rings of Power. It's officially filming on its third season.
Yeah, a director gave an interview and just let slip, but I'm working on it right now. I've been in London for how many days? We're shooting today. So they're making it, they're filming it. I wonder if they did decide to, like, we can only keep one of these, and they made the wrong choice. Or if they just cancel Wheel of Time for another reason. It all comes back to Wheel of Time, doesn't it? It will for a while yet, whenever Amazon comes up. I'll probably watch it or something when it comes out in 2028 million. Daniel, okay. Do you have any, you probably haven't seen it, but do you have any thought, because it comes out tomorrow or Friday, do you have any thoughts on the live action How to Train Your Dragon remake coming out this weekend in theaters?
Exhaustion at the state of our media. I generally hate these live action remakes on premise. I will say this is the same director who made the animated movie. It's the same person who did the score. So there's some pedigree to this, and it seems like that is a huge silver lining to it. I still just am like, I'd rather watch a different movie than remake a, you know, it's not like the dragon's real. It's still animated. Anyway, Dan, here's our final, put us out of our misery so I can stop ranting about shit today. Our final lightning round story. The Last of Us showrunner, Neil Druckmann, has confirmed season 3 is going to be an Abby season.
You know, this was like news going around, but part of me was like, well, yeah. Like, what else is it going to be? So I'll just go by that and say that this weekend I might see The Ballerina, the new John Wick kind of spinoff movie. That looks pretty good to me, rather than How to Train Your Dragon. And that's my comment on the Wheel of Time, on the Last of Us news.
Fair. Wow, that was a journey. You did that 20 seconds did a lot of heavy lifting here at the end.
You can
of the
get
show.
A lot done in 20 seconds, put your mind to
apparently.
It. And that's our show, everybody. Come back every week. We do this every Wednesday at 2 p.m. CST here on the Winter is Coming YouTube page and Facebook page. Why don't you just, if you're on YouTube, just hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, ring the bell next to the subscribe button, and then tell everybody you've ever known about the show, Take the Black, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. CST. Come watch us. Come rap with us. We're a good time. find us in podcast form wherever podcasts are available. And just come back next week. It's very easy. It is not Sisyphusian. Goodbye.
Nice. Take care, all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.